to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, and I will read all the way down through verse 14. Title of the message tonight, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. I've drawn the title of the message from that phrase there in verse 6, Wilt thou be made whole? This would be a foolish question had not anyone but Jesus asked it. Why would anybody want to continue in an infirmity that they have had for 38 years? Why would anybody want to lay around and not be able to walk? Of course, we would want to be made whole. Of course, this man wanted to be made whole. But Jesus asked him this question, and so there must be some who do not want to be made whole. Some enjoy poor health. It's like the man who jumped in his bed when he heard that visitors were coming. He wanted them to know that he was sick. The question that Jesus asked could have been taken as a foolish question with an obvious answer, but it wasn't. Commentators say that this is the third sign of Jesus in John. A sign being an attesting miracle pointing to the supernatural power of Jesus as the Savior of men, and is meant to demonstrate his glory and to encourage belief. And so I hope that does that tonight. It will show us his glory and encourage our belief, our faith. Whenever there was such a sign, there was also a spiritual application. So we want to draw out of this story tonight some spiritual application for us as well. The picture of many people today is that they are impotent. They are powerless. There is no dynamic in their life. This man had legs, but they couldn't support him, so he had no power. There was blind people at the pool, but their eyes could not see, so they had no power to see. There were people there with withered arms. And although they had arms, they had no power because their arms were lame, were withered. There was no power in their life. Some people have life, but they don't have health. And so Jesus moves into a situation to make men whole. This incident demonstrates the Master's method of making people whole. And I want to say tonight that the Lord is interested in making you whole. He is interested in your whole person. He is interested in your body. He is interested in your soul. He is interested in your spirit. He's interested in the whole of you, that which makes up all of you. If you notice, Jesus speaks to this man three times in verses 6, 8, and 14. If you have a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red, they're easy to pick out there. Verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And so Jesus did three things with this man. First of all, he asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And then the second time he talked to him, he gave him a command. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And then the third time he talked to him, he gave him a warning, an exhortation. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And so to be made whole, first of all, we must begin with desire. To be made whole, we must begin with desire. The emphasis is on desire. Do you want to be whole? Wilt thou be made whole? This has to be the starting place. This is where it's all settled. Do you really want to be whole? This is, first of all, a pertinent question. He was sick. He was helpless. He was hopeless. He had nobody to help him get in the water when the angel touched the water. He had nobody in the world that was of concern in this way for him. And when he went to get into the water, somebody would always beat him to it. And so it was a pertinent question. Do you want to be whole? But it was also a personal question. Do you want to be whole? There's, in verse 3, a great multitude of men, impotent folk. And then verse 5, there says a certain man. I love how the Bible does this. I love how Jesus does this. He sees the multitude. He saw everybody that was around that pool. And it was a multitude of people. It was a lot of people. But Jesus had his eyes not just on the multitude. He had his eyes on a certain man. One person there, for some reason or another, caught his attention. Jesus deals with us on an individual level. He will single you out as though you were the only needy person here tonight. He sees everyone, yes, but he has this ability to be able to single you out to see your need and to make you feel like you are the only person that he is concerned about tonight. I love how Jesus does that. He sees the crowd, but he deals with us on a personal, individual level. But then he asks a probing question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be whole? The answer is not as obvious as we think. Consider the responsibility wholeness involves. To some people, inactivity can become attractive. You see, if we are healed, if we are made whole, there is no excuse. The Lord will expect things from you if you are whole. He will expect you to serve Him. He will expect you to serve others. He will expect you to attend church. He will expect certain things of you. But if you're not whole, you have an excuse. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to become at ease in our station, in our situations of life. Secondly, this beggar would lose a good living if he was healed. He would have to get a job and he would have to support himself. He would not be able just to lay by the pool and beg and have people supply his need. He would have to supply for himself. And then the third thought about being made whole is that as long as you can't, others will. They'll do the work. As long as you're not able to do it, somebody else will pick up the slack and somebody will do the work. It's sometimes nice to be a taker and to sit back and watch the other people do the work of the ministry. Do you know that 80% of the people watch 20% of the people do the work? In the average church, that's the way it is. 80% watch 20% do all the work. There are three groups of people. There are energy givers, energy takers, and energy wasters. Sometimes we get in that place where we all have to take. I know that. We're discouraged, we're down, we might be sick, or we get in this place where we need other people to minister to us. But when Christ makes us whole, He does so that we might have the energy to be givers. People who want to continue to be lame and have everybody else serve them fruitlessly, they are the energy wasters. So there's three kinds of people here tonight. You're in one of these three categories. You're an energy giver. You give to other people. You bless other people. You minister to other people. Or you're an energy taker. People are always ministering to you, giving to you. Or the worst of the three is the energy waster. People give to you, minister to you, but it does no good. It's fruitless. You don't allow yourself to be blessed by their ministry. And then another interesting thought is that once we are made whole, we can't blame others for failure. If we are not made whole, we can always blame others for failure. As long as we are not whole, we can blame the others who are doing the work for any failures. We don't want to risk criticism, so let's let somebody else do it. We can criticize them. We don't want to risk failure. We don't want to do that. Some people just don't want to take a risk. They're not willing to get in, to be involved. They're not willing to minister because they don't want people to criticize them. And then the realization of what wholeness is. Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be whole? Not simply, do you want to walk? Jesus didn't say that to him. He didn't say, do you want to walk? He didn't say, do you want to get well? No, he said, do you want to be whole? Jesus doesn't deal with partial cures. He deals with the whole person. He's not a specialist. Leonard Griffith wrote in Encounters with Christ, a wise old general practitioner asked, when a young doctor announced he intended to specialize on the nose, the old doctor said, which nostril? Now, I know that there's a value in specialists. I realize that in the medical field, there is a need for specialists. But I want you to know that the great physician, Jesus Christ, is not a specialist in just one area. He specializes in the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. He is interested in every area of our life. We might say, Lord, fix my leg, not my life. But Jesus is concerned not just about my leg, He's concerned about my life. We might say, Lord, fix my ache in this particular part of the body or that particular body. But Jesus is concerned about every relationship. He's concerned about my home. He's concerned about my finances. He's concerned about my church life. He's concerned about all of those things. And He wants us to be a whole person. Many Christians live in search of an emotional high. Faith to them is God's gift to the nervous system. They go to church seeking feeling. Many times there's been little or no spiritual discipline in their lives. Frustration and despair have set in. They're going to worship with their emotional antenna exposed to receive the highest thrill they can have. In fact, the title of one of the folk musicals may be an indictment against us, Natural High. The implication is that Jesus is the trip of a lifetime, and that the emotional plateau one can reach with Jesus is greater than one might be able to reach through drugs. Quite honestly, many Christians are only Christaholics. They're not disciples at all. The disciple is a cross-bearer and seeks Christ primarily. The Christaholic seeks happiness above everything else. The disciple dares to discipline himself. The Christaholic is an escapist. He tries to escape his world, and Jesus is just another way of escape. To him, Christ is a happiness capsule. He is, however, the way to the Father. And the way to the Father is not a carnival ride in which we sit and do nothing while we are whisked through various spiritual sensations. The true Christian rises above his emotions and focuses on the disciplines of the Christian life. Number two, there is a command to be obeyed. There is a twofold response to Christ's life-giving word. First of all, there is something to abandon. We have to abandon that which is incapable of helping. The man's excuse for failure was, "I can't get to the pool. I can't get there fast enough. While I'm going, somebody steps in ahead of time. There's nobody to help me. If I could just get to the pool." He limited Jesus to his own condition and circumstances. Jesus didn't help him get in the pool. He made the pool unnecessary. Also, that which the man had leaned upon, his bed for years, his bed was to be folded up and packed away. Are you willing to fold up and pack away the inadequate methods? Are you willing to discard those things that you have depended on? Maybe Christ has something totally different in mind that will lend those things that we depend upon as being useless. And then there was something to attempt, a command that was impossible. The man had the inability to walk, and yet that's exactly what Jesus told him to do. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He commands him to do what he can physically not do. He commands him to do the very thing he cannot do, but he did. You know what that tells me? It tells me that every command God gives us is a promise. If he commands us to do something that we think is impossible, then with that command comes the promise that he will make it possible, that he will do it. If we are simply willing to obey, if we are simply willing to step out in faith, he will make the impossible possible in our life. The Word of God conveys the power. That means there is no excuse for not being what God intends you to be. No excuse. There's no excuse for us not being what God wants us to be. You know what I really think? I think that this week Jesus is going to say something to you. You be listening for this. He's going to give you a word of command. Either it'll be something to abandon or something to attempt to do. He's going to ask you to give something up or he's going to ask you to do something. There will be no excuse for you not to do it because his command will be a promise. With the command will come the power to obey. So would you just be looking for that this week? Just be in tune with the Holy Spirit. What is he going to ask you to give up, or what is he going to ask you to do? And it might be something that you think is impossible. But just remember that within the command is the promise that he will give you the power to be able to do it. Will you right now commit yourself to obey, whatever that might be? And then I want you to notice that the response is immediate. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Do it now. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't wait to think about it. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Don't wait for more favorable circumstances. Self-control, instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. And then number three, an obligation to fulfill. Don't continue in sin. The command to walk enabled the man to walk. The command to stop sinning, specific sins, I think, will also carry with it power to obey, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Could there be something worse than being a cripple for 38 years? Yes, there was. Something could be worse. sinning after being made whole is worse. You never miss what you never had, but once you've experienced it, you are never satisfied without it. Samson was all the more pitiful because of what he had been. It is better to not have known a life of fullness than to have known it and lost it. It is better to not have been at the top at all than to have been at the top and fell. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole tonight? Three things you must have the desire. You must want to be made whole. And then you have to obey the command. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And then you have to fulfill your obligation. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Wilt thou be made whole? Maybe you've been praying about something. Maybe it's been a healing. Maybe it's been something else. You've been asking the Lord to do something for you. Tonight, you realize that the Lord just isn't interested in only that aspect of your life. Not just that part. Maybe that's where you focused, but He's focusing on the whole of you. He wants you to be made whole. And He realizes that sometimes if He would just heal the infirmity, that we would miss out on the greater blessing. We would miss out on doing what He wants to really accomplish, minister to the whole being. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to pay the price to be made whole? Are you willing to become active after being whole? Are you willing to obey His command, whatever that might be? Are you willing to fulfill your obligations that come as a result of Christ making you whole? How many here tonight are saying, Lord, I want to be made whole. I want every area of my being. I want to be whole in my body, my soul, and my spirit. And I want your touch tonight. I'm serious when I say I want to be whole. I realize that with that wholeness is going to come responsibility. And I'm willing to take on that responsibility. I'm willing to be an energy giver. I'm willing to do whatever you command me to do by making me whole. Could you just raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight for these raised hands. Lord, for this desire to be whole. Lord, we recognize tonight that you require things of us. Lord, we are willing to be used. We are willing to be energy givers and not just takers. We realize that when you make us whole, you expect things of us, and we are willing to take on those responsibilities. We are willing to follow your commands. And then, Lord, we do pray for your grace that we might be able to fulfill our obligations. For each person here that raised their hand, Lord, make them whole and give them grace, give them power. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.